children with them learning their letter sounds, learning letter recognition, and then using a method of creating words.
Let's kids play podcast.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Let Kids Play Podcast. Today we have a very special guest. We have Miss Tangie, the toddler tutor. I'm so excited to have her on here. We have the same target audience, your little ones under five. I'll let her introduce herself. Welcome, toddler tutor.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be in the Activity Playhouse. Hello, world. I am Miss Tangie, the toddler tutor. I have the wonderful opportunity to grace all social media platforms and now the podcast of the Activity Playhouse and just be able to create engaging experiences and resources for your children. I am a believer, I am a mother, I am a teacher, and now an entrepreneur that's setting out letting the whole world know, make the toddler tutor household name, about how to make your children beautiful, brilliant, and just lifelong learners. I'm so excited to share with you today.
We're excited to have you. Listen, the toddler tutor is the one that will get your children to reading in, I want to say, the correct way, but I also want to say using like the decoder and phonemic awareness and things like that. Because you see, okay, I was about to get all into it. Okay, first, so tell, because that's where I was going. I was going with your busy books. So tell us, because everyone has a busy book, but the toddler tutor's busy book is set up in a certain type of way. And y'all know I don't like worksheets, but in her book, it kind of guides the child through different levels of the science of reading that they need in order to actually start reading versus just throwing it in front of them. So tell us the idea behind your busy books.
Woo! This is my favorite thing to talk about in the world. Outside of my daughter. Jesus. So the busy books came through, of course, the mission of the toddler tutor to create lifelong learners and definitely fluent comprehending readers. My background is an elementary school teacher. I was a kindergarten, first grade, and second grade teacher. I was a reading specialist, and I was a elementary curriculum coach and administrator. So over the years, I've seen so many children come into schools in academic settings where they were smart, sharp, had all of the know-how and the motivation to be successful in the classroom. They were missing skills. And we used to call those skills in the classroom buckets. Like, we need to fill this bucket, we need to fill that bucket. And the cool thing about the science of reading, the newest philosophy in reading right now, is that that is explicitly what it does. It looks at where the child needs explicit instruction, and you hit that target and you move them along and the sequence from there. But the busy book is what I felt was an answer to not having the buckets at all. Because if you start early with children, with them learning their letter sounds, learning letter recognition, and then using a method of creating words from there, it just kind of circumvents all of that, all of those buckets, right? So the busy book is comprised of the early learning. There's two.
Okay.
The third, let me tell you, this is always something going on here at the Busy Book Factory. But the early learning busy book is comprised of several activities, and they're all interactive. The very first page you'll see on the early literacy book, early learning busy book, is letter recognition. You will see a sheet. But you know what? Do I have sheets? Hold on a sec. Can I show the sheets as I talk about this? You will see letter recognition. You have a sheet of letters on a page, Velcro dot it down, and you'll be able to match the uppercase letter with a lowercase letter. On that page, there will be a QR code, because as a teacher at heart, I don't believe children know anything unless I taught it. It's just one of those five cases of this letter. The next page is letter sounds. So there's a picture attached to each letter on the page, Velcro dot it down, that begins with the beginning letter of that sound. So that particular part of that book is introducing a fundamental skill that children will need to know in order to learn to read. You learn from letters, words, to sentences. That's how it goes. So as you put those skills together, and you give it to, you can't eat the elephant in chunks. And like you said, you cannot just throw it in front of them. There has to be a systematic way that you introduce things so that children can, one, learn them to mastery, as well as be confident in doing it and making it fun. Like, do not, and as much as a teacher and as a mom, I use flashcards. They're useful. And I love flashcards, but there's so many other ways to make it interactive. And the early learning busy book does introduce those skills in that way, in a very engaging way. Now, so that component translates into the ready to read busy book. Okay. So that is a book in which I really looked at the different things I learned as an educator, as well as my knowledge in the science of reading, to really get children, okay, like, I have certain skills. I know how to identify my uppercase and lowercase letters. I know my letter sounds. What do I do now? So now this book has different components that really hone in on the usage of those skills as it relates to phonemic awareness. And that's just the knowledge of sounds, manipulating sounds in words in order to create words and also to create new words. So if you have the picture, there's a picture part of the book in which you have the word bug. I have picture cards within the book as well. There's also over 50 word cards, decodable and non-decodable. That's what we got to talk about. Word, fluent sight words versus decodable words. I'll get back to that. There's a component for that too. And then there's also vocabulary letter cards in which you can take those letter cards out of the busy book. Let's say it's a bug, right? If your child knows all of in context, they know what a bug is. They should be able to tell you, what's the first sound you hear in the word bug? Bug. And you may have to work with them on it. But eventually they'll hear the first sound is bug. You may have to point it out. You may have to tap it out very explicitly. But they will be able to know the first sound you hear in the word bug is b, because they know their letter sounds, right? Yeah. There's an association with that sound that is a letter B. So on the in the busy book, there's a place for you to write the letter B, because there's also a handwriting busy book. It's this book, when I tell you, it's my favorite, I think. I mean, I teaching kids to read. So this is like my favorite one. But there's to cut it short, I won't go too much into it at this point, but it's a very compact resource that has all of the components of handwriting.
Okay.
Sight words, decodable words, phonemic awareness, vocabulary picture cards to assist you within the different activities in the book, but also help you with CBC recognition and mastery and sounds, and a component in which you can write sentences using those words and picture cards in the book. So it is action-packed, baby. It is a lot in it.
It sounds like it's filling all of those buckets. And what I love about it, because I love that you used the analogy of buckets, because I know I'm not a certified early childhood educator. I have worked in a play-based learning center, but what I do know and what I found, because I'm always at kids' school, I have three, kids are struggling to like use scissors. They're struggling to even hold the pencil. So I love that you have the Velcro with them using those fine motor skills along with the reading and letter recognition, letter sounds and stuff like that. So you truly have a all-in-one resource to prepare them for kindergarten, whether they're homeschool or not. And I truly, truly love the work that you've put into it, because like I say, everyone has a busy book, but this busy book is structured to make sure they feel those buckets, those skills, those foundational skills are met, because as parents, we forget those foundational skills sometimes. Right. And that's where the Activity Playhouse came about, to help parents get those resources, because there's a disconnect between what the schools are requiring and what they're telling the parents, AKA the CDC. Like, the CDC standards are so low, and then they just lower them again. But then the kids get to kindergarten and the parents are taken aback, because it's like, oh my God, I didn't know my child needs to know this. It's college. Say it again.
It's college, kindergarten college. That's what it is. I'll tell you a funny story about that. So as a first year teacher 100 years ago, are you familiar with Abbott Elementary?
Abbott, yes.
The first year, that was me. When I tell you, most teachers didn't want to watch that show when it came out, because they're like, oh, we don't want to see a show about teachers. When I tell you, it is spot on. If you want to know what's going on in elementary school, public schools, that is the show. She is a genius, right? And she got the inspiration from a teacher, of course. So
yeah,
the show. But her enthusiasm for children, that's how I was. That's how I am, right? So my very first year as a teacher, I was a kindergarten teacher. And I just thought these were the smartest kids in the world. Like, oh God, you gave me these kids and what about, you know. So my instructional coach at the time, shout out to Daphne Coleman, because I know
okay,
I got
Daphne.
So she came to me with a slip of papers, like a stack of papers. She said, Miss Peek, that was my teacher name. Miss Peek, I need you to tell me all the kids that don't know these skills and put them on a list and give it back to me and by Friday. I'm like, well, what is this? Because as a first year teacher, there's a lot you do not know, right?
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, these are criteria for children to get EIP services. I'm like, what's that? Early intervention services. Yeah. So you don't come in with a certain level. This is something kindergarten. This is what people need to know. When you're going to take them to your children to school, I'm going to tell you something. She said, these are the skills that they need to know. So the skills in the list were, it's going to blow you away. Letter recognition. How many letters can they recognize? Letter sounds. How far can they count from memory? Very, very, very foundational skills, but they're in kindergarten.
Yeah.
So I'm like, why would I send? Most of them didn't know their letters. Let's say if I had my first year as a kindergarten teacher, I had 27 students. Now imagine that. And with the para, thank God, shout out Miss Green. But there was so much they did not know. And I would have ended up like sending 13 of my students away to another teacher. And as a teacher that was going to save the world, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Doing that. I said, you know, why would I send it away to another teacher? And I
hold on. So I understand EIP as it's early intervention, but it's also identify them with something else, if I'm not mistaken. So they go into like a program.
Okay. So I think you're thinking IEP.
Okay.
So EIP is a early intervention program. So that's what I'm saying. So let's say that I had those 13 children. They didn't know 12 of their letter sounds or 20 letters. They would have gone with a teacher that was designated just for filling the buckets, those particular buckets for those children. She would have kind of sped up their progress in learning those things, so she could have brought them back to me and they could have been able to receive great level content. And IEP is where a child has gone through the early intervention program. They're not making any progress. Okay, so there might be some other things at play, and they go through a series of checks and balances and meetings and things like that, and progress checks with the teachers and with the parents. And at the end of that process, which is very lengthy, you would get in, if the child is approved for that, they would go and get an individualized educational plan. So that is something explicitly for that child that might be attached to some kind of play or a deficiency that the child is diagnosed with at the end of that process. But those are two different things. Those are two different ends of the EIP process that I was with, I told them I wasn't doing it. I wasn't sending my children with another teacher because I'm their teacher.
Yeah.
And I wasn't doing it. She was spitfire mad at me. So it's like,
I'm gonna ask the consequences.
And I don't care. I was right. I was their teacher. God sent them to me to be their teacher. I'm not sending them to somebody else. That's what I'm thinking, right?
And the parents.
She told the principal on me. But she did. But, and I was fine with it because I just didn't understand why a child that came into kindergarten not knowing things they're supposed to learn in kindergarten had to go to another teacher. So I say to say that to your point, there's so many things that the state is requiring, and this is nationwide, of your children. And if they don't come with a certain knowledge base or prerequisite skills, they're going to be flagged more than likely as being behind. And it's not because they're not able to do it. It's just they haven't been exposed to it. So the learning tools that I create are meant to give you a head start. It's meant to expose you to the level of efficacy your children should have before they step into a kindergarten or even a preschool setting. And it gives that child confidence. And I mean, it's confidence that you wouldn't even believe. Like the children that came in knowing their letters versus the ones that didn't, they're like... And I loved it because it let me know, you know, these are not only that these children is going to do what they're supposed to do in school, but it's children that can then be strong peers to those that didn't skills. But it just gives them a big boost in their confidence and self-assurance and what they know. So
it's confidence, parents. Confidence is not just about the academics. Exposing them to all of this stuff early and making the world of the classroom, it builds their confidence.
Yes, it does. And they're happy to, and you want to cultivate a child. This is my experience. You cultivate a child that loves to learn by exposing them to learning opportunities. And it's not just in academics. It's about going to the library. It's about taking them to the zoo. Like anytime that, as my daughter, she's 10 now, whenever she was small and she wanted to learn something, we would go to the library and give a ton of books about it. And I don't care, we just sat on the floor and just thumbed through the books. Exposing them to opportunities to learn, watching something, like watching National Geographic. She wanted to be an astronaut. How many hours did we have to sit with the NASA space station on our TV?
But hold on, Miss Tangie. Did you enjoy it or was it something you just felt like you needed to do because your child was interested in it?
I did enjoy it. See, I'm different. she wanted to be an astronaut for like 3 years, baby. May Jameson book was in her room. Let me show you this. I can show you this right now. This is how locked in I was on her being an astronaut. Okay. Baby, we didn't play. We went to the Space and Rocket Museum in Huntsville. Because as a parent, you know, I understood that she is not an extension of me. She is her own person. I wanted her to be a ballerina. I did. Because I didn't get to be a ballerina. So you're going to be a ballerina. And I thank God for my child. She is very self-aware. I don't want to do that. I'm not a good dancer, mommy. And she's, you know, she didn't get that from me. So... she's an artist. So now she draws and she sculpts and she does all these amazing things. And so I have to say, in the process of getting to know her, I have enjoyed exploring her interests with her. And I have invested money and time and
that's another conversation. So I have a question. That invest we remind if I don't come back to that, remind me to come back to that. Oh my God. But I asked you, did you enjoy it? Because people tend to assume that I enjoy everything that I do with my kids. And it's not necessarily that I enjoy, like I don't enjoy being outside for 2 hours. I'm just gonna be honest. I enjoy going outside, but I don't enjoy being outside for 2 hours just playing with them.
Yeah.
But it's something that my little one, he's an outside baby. He has a whole construction site in our backyard. So it's something that he needs. Right. So I'm out there, but I don't always enjoy it. Now, my daughter, I enjoy because she's like, she likes doing hair and stuff like that. But I don't like playing with Barbies. But that's what she needs for me to play with Barbies, because that's pretend play. So that's why I asked, did you enjoy it?
Got it. And I'll add to that too. So right now she's a gamer. She loves, so she's into what is it called? Toca Boca. She loves designing houses.
Yes.
If you have a 10-year-old, what how old are your kids?
I have an 11, 7, and 4-year-old, so I know all about the gaming.
Listen, so She's into creating on Bloxburg.
Okay.
I have to watch Alaska Violet a lot. I'm gonna be honest. I don't, but you know, but listen, if I'm going to sit next to my child and be with her, and times I have to sit and watch Last Wild. Now, at the beginning, interestingly enough, I've kind of got into it.
Yeah.
You get into it after a while, but at first I'm like, she's like, Mommy, I want to watch Alaska just posted a video, and she runs around here like, and I'm like, girl, really? And I'm like, but I'm really good at buying into her. I support her crazy. I do it because she needs that. She needs to know that I am interested in not just what she's doing, but in who she is.
Yep.
And she's a child. She can smell out the fakeness. So if I tried to pretend, like, okay, she's like, you can just go do what you want to do. You don't want to. I'm like, yes, I do. I really want to sit and watch Alaska Violet all night. I really do. But most of the time I'll sit and I'll work with her, you know? So yes, I can relate to that as well. I don't want to sit and watch all night, but I do it.
Listen, for my 11-year-old, it's Ronaldo, because he's really big into soccer. Like, it's Ronaldo. Ugh. But I mean, it's what they're into. So it's not a chore. It's just, I would rather do something else, but I also would rather sit here and enjoy what you're interested in because I get to spend time with you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Listen. Oh, how could I put this? And it's so important, and especially when as our children get older, like your child. Mm-hmm. Is it a daughter or a son that's 11?
My son is 11. Okay.
You have to stay closer to them. You got to do the little one. Because there's so much. There is, when I was 11-year-old, I was playing with Barbie dolls. I was outside. You know, I was running around with cousins up and down the road. Like, it was just a lot going on. It was a lot more extrinsic stimulation. Now it's like in the house. Like you're on game. We had video games. We would much rather be outside at 11. Yeah. But now the kids are inside.
Yeah. And
YouTube is now like a more advanced situation than the TV. Because at least with the TV, they censor what's on TV. They don't censor what they do. So just the world is at their fingertips. So being with your tweens, your 9, 10, 11, 8, all of them, period. But the ones that have access to devices, I cannot stress that enough. It's being in tune with what they're into, because that is the key for you to know, you know, where you need to set boundaries or just be more aware of what they're watching.
Yep. And that's where it comes into. And I think that's how I started following you, because a lot of people don't talk about their kids gaming, and you posted the parental controls for Roblox. Yes. Somebody that gets it.
But you know, but I'm going to tell you, Ava didn't start doing Roblox until she was about 7. I held on it as long as I could.
Yeah.
But that was the first thing that I looked at. I said, so how am I going to make sure she doesn't have access to everything? But when we would talk about it amongst moms and amongst parents, a lot of people didn't even know what Roblox consisted of, let alone knew that you could put parental controls around it. I was like, this is something people need to know, because I went into a client's home and her three-year-old was playing a game. I just played with Ava. And it was pretty, it wasn't graphic, but it was graphic to me for a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she didn't even know what it was. She thought Roblox was one game. It is thousands of games.
Thousands,
literally. And she was like, what? And I showed her through, and I have an app, Unicorn Mom 0202. That's my name. And I showed her all of the games, and her mouth was on the floor. She had no idea. So there's so much to learn in that space. And that's, again, knowing what your children are into. You just handing them a phone is not going to work.
You got to get into it.
You got to get into it. I was like, I sure do, because it's cheat code. I'm like my mama. I work smarter, not harder. I'm a do the Jedi mind trick on you. So in Roblox, if you are your child's friend, you can see when your child is playing. So let's say it tells you, and you can go into the game where they are.
To just see what click they on their username, and it'll pop you right there with them.
Baby. Or send them a message, get off, you know. So those are the things that I learned as a this early as a parent. Like I had to stick with her. Like I really did. I knew that, and she's an awesome kid. But I know the world is not awesome.
Right.
Teaching her, listen. You have to listen to your intuition. You listen to that still small voice that says, mm-mm. And our boundary is, if you think mommy wouldn't want you watching that. If you think about it, then it's wrong.
We use that.
Yes, you have to give them that that thought, like that I call it like a thought starter. If you think I won't like it, you make a decision, you know. So I definitely
we say, is it like, is it inappropriate? So like my 4-year-old, because he hears me talking with my 11-year-old or my 7-year-old, because their parental rights on YouTube, they don't filter them as much. But what I do is I have it signed into a kid account, and they can only watch it on TV, so I can hear what they're watching. YouTube is not on their devices. And then again, Roblox has so many filters. And then even we have like family links. So regardless of where they are, they can't even access certain like websites and things like that. So there are a ton of parental rights, because my household is a gaming household. My husband is a gamer. So I knew when my child became 3 or 4 that I needed to know this stuff and get in tune with this stuff. But my 4-year-old would say, mommy, is this inappropriate?
Period. Period.
And I'm like, baby, Paw Patrol is not inappropriate.
Let me tell you something. I think the thing with that is, I think when I had to take the parental controls off of Ava's, because her friends were playing games that were not inappropriate, but based on the controls on Roblox, she couldn't access them. She can't. It was like, mm-hmm. Please, can I please? And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so we had to have a conversation. And I am a proponent of having real deal, real life conversations with kids.
Did you know that inflammation is the hidden villain behind many health issues? Our guide is packed with delicious recipes and simple tips to help you fight back and thrive. What can you expect? Family-friendly recipes, quick, tasty juice and smoothie recipes that everyone will love, health-boosting tips, easy ways to incorporate anti-inflammatory foods into your daily routine. This guide isn't just a resource. It's your family's ticket to a summer full of energy, joy, and vibrant health. Don't miss out on the chance to transform your meals and your well-being. Plus, explore more with the Empowered Plates, Empowered Lives podcast and Nourish and Flourish Vibes mukbang for tips on healthy habits and lifestyle changes. Don't forget to download it now and make the summer your healthiest one yet.
Yes, especially in 2024. Okay.
They're humans.
Because guess what? If you don't teach your child, the world will, and I'm not willing to take that chance. So I sat with her and I said, listen to me. Because she loved to talk about she had a nightmare or something in her closet. Listen, sis. I said, you have to be very careful what you allow in your eye gates and your ear gates. I always tell her, what is seen cannot be unseen, and what is heard cannot be unheard. You cannot undo that. Once you allow it into your mind, it is permanent. You can forget about it, but it may come to your awareness in the most ridiculous time or in your subconscious. We have to talk about that. So no. I taught her that early. And I said, you know, you might think you're fooling me, but you're not fooling God, okay? Don't play with me. You can play with God. You really can't play with me. But I had to teach her a certain level of trust when mm-hmm. it comes to that, because I'm not everywhere. And I had to let her know, if you don't take care of your consciousness a certain way, you will be exposing yourself to things that you really don't want to be. And that's when you use that boundary. If my mother wouldn't want me watching this, I need to turn it off. Even if I think it. Even a little bit. Let me go ask her. And she did that. She was coming okay, can you look at this and see? And sometimes I would say yes, sometimes I would say no. You know, yeah, you can do it. Yeah, I think it'll be okay. But having those conversations is paramount, because if you don't, you leave them to their own devices. And we as parents have to know our role is not to always allow them to do what they want to do in the moment, because A, we don't want to engage. Two, we don't want to seem like we're that parent. I don't care about none of that. I am your parent. You are assigned to me for a reason. This is one test I'm not going to flunk. So I'm going to do what I feel like I need to do. But we have to be very clear about what we're doing, because in some things there is no do-over.
No. Nope. You know?
So we got to get it right the first time. But that gaming thing, yeah, I will. But thank God my sister is a gamer. So now they have me. I just got my first PS5 profile game. I was like, they be playing some game called Overcooked. I'm obsessed. I want to cook. So, yeah, it's cool. I love it, but I love, again, that's a bonding opportunity for me. So I look for those every chance I get.
Yep. And then that's why I wasn't against the whole gaming thing, because my husband is a gamer, so that's a chance for him to bond. And then also my house take it another step. They build gaming computers. So my husband. Whoa. Yes.
Wow.
They build gaming computers. So my husband has built I think 3 computers, and then my son, he just got his first one, I think 2 years ago. So he's ready to build again because it changes so much. So that's why I'm really if you structure it well and engage with them in the proper way, that gaming can take them over. You know, now they can get into college playing the game. That's a scholarship.
Yeah. It's a major. Yeah, I've heard. Yeah. Yes. And I think that to think about it in that range, it doesn't seem like a waste of time. You on that game all the time. But it really does feed their creativity. Because when, let's say Ava gets restricted from her tablet for whatever reason, she's like, I need to build something. You know, can I please have my tablet back? You know, or she's drawing, but she draws and she you know, she creates and she makes clothes, crochets. It's.
Yes. They're balanced. That's what I love about it.
Yes.
But I want to go back so you have that bond with her now that she's 10. How did that look at 3?
That looked like I was shimmer and shine. I was the other playmate. She's an only child right now. So I was her friend. I was her playmate. You know, I read to her every night. We talked about a lot of things. We went to the park and play. Like you talk about being outside. She was 3. So she liked going to the playground. But after a while, she's like, I'm done. But just making sure I was present with her. One of the best things that happened to me as a young mother was after she left my aunt's home when she was small, I went to Miss King's house. Shout out to Miss King. She only kept children of teachers. And she made up our children at 4:30. And at first, I was like, she came highly recommended. I knew Miss King from the community. I knew my baby was going to be safe, well-fed, and happy, and smart when I picked her up. But that time was like, man, I got to go. You know, as a teacher, you don't leave school at 4:30. You just don't, right? Because you have things to do after school. But that's what I thought. But when I brought Ava to school after I picked her up one time, and I never did it again. And I structured my life where once school was over, it was over. And I was her mother. I prioritized spending time with her, teaching her, engaging with her, Because again, if I'm not going to do it as her mom, who's going to do it? You know, I'm the nurturer. I'm the one that's supposed to be anticipating what she needs in certain ways. I was very present with her. I, again, invested in her interests. Like, you know, I think that was around the time she was talking about being an astronaut. She was going, she wanted to go to Saturn. And I'm like, well, listen, you going to the moon, I'm going to the moon too. I remember.
Together.
She already says I can't go to college with her. I'm like, girl, you better shut up. But I remember her walking out towards the car. We were leaving for school one day, and she was standing there looking up at the moon. And she had the most intense look on her face. She said, I want to go to the moon. I said, you do? She said, yes. I said, well, baby, if you're going to the moon, I'm going to the moon too. We're going to go to the moon. And it seemed like the most feasible thing in the world. But I never, I was just sold out to getting to know her. I really committed myself to learning her. And yes. Just wanted to be with her all the time. So that looked like play. Yeah. It looked like a lot of things you do with your kids. Like, you know, her teaching how to fold clothes. I was her teacher. I was her first teacher. Yeah. And that was
It came from an educator, y'all. Yes. You are the first teacher.
You are. And it's not just the things. I was very intentional because again, in my professional life, I saw so many children come into my space that were not just inequipped like academically, but socially, emotionally. You know, in their
just need a hug sometimes. They've never been hugged. They've never had someone look down at their eye level to actually look at them. They're taken aback by the simple things.
And I wanted her to be able to be I wanted her to be to go anywhere she needed to go and be fine. Like she can go to another planet and it's fine. That was my goal. So I engaged her as though she was thinking, intelligent, highly aware individual. And I began to teach her things very early about who she was, you know? Mm-hmm. And that made such a difference, you know, just hearing her walk around and talking about, my name is Ava and I'm smart and I'm happy. You know, it was just a part of our life that she knew that she was the best thing smoking. Like, you know, you're the best thing out. You're the best little girl in the whole wide world. Period.
There's nothing you can't do.
There's nothing you can't do. And children, and that's the injury when you're saying things to them, that's teaching them how you respond to situations. You're teaching them when you are cussing in the car and I'm guilty. And my child, like, and one thing I am, and another thing you can teach your children. This is big. This has been a game changer for me. And I guess it depends on every child, right? I am not a parent that wants my child to believe I'm perfect.
Oh,
that is like the I don't want. I'm like, girl, I make mistakes all the time. I don't know what I'm doing.
Let me tell you about the mistake I made when you was in here.
Listen. And I'm very transparent, developmentally appropriately so, but I'm very transparent with my child because I need her to know that you can make a mistake and recover. You can make a pivot and be successful. I just need her to know, like, throughout the chart of life, I've not always known what to do, but I knew who I was. I went to my source. I pray. She sees all the things that I do and how I coordinate my life. I'm charting a path for her. And I saw a quote on Instagram somewhere that says, every day is just a day to you before a child, you're writing a page in their childhood. Yeah. And that thing hit me like, oh, I'm like, ooh. Like, I gotta make sure that I'm like, things are going well, but I took it as, you know what, this is in real time, she's learning how to be.
Yeah.
I'm living life, but she's learning how to be. And that was, and so when it comes, like, let's say the things that the Lord is working on me with as far as my road rage, and I'm better now, you know, We used to have a much better now. But she was the first person. Like, she literally, my child's just different. I love her. And then, again, this is like my favorite thing to talk about. I said something in the car one day. She was about three, as a matter of fact. It's funny you say that age. She said, "I'm listening." And I'm like, oh, you know, so you're teaching them consistently. You're teaching them habits. You're teaching them everything. How you talk on the phone to your friends is how they're going to talk on the phone to their friends.
And you can't early, because if your child has a real big imagination like my daughter, you are here when she's walking around talking to her Facebook.
I'll be right back. Hold on a second. I got to turn something off. Hold on a second. But let me tell you. I'm going to tell you something that it messed me up. It really messed me up. So my daughter has three, like, her closest friends she's had since Miss King's house, since she was 1 year old. So they have been friends their entire life, literally. So Beverly has two daughters, Avery and Addison, and Chloe. And so it's Avery, Addison, Ava, and Chloe. So Beverly sends us a video of her girls imitating her. And I'm like, I'm scared. I'm like, so Beverly says, "Get the girls to do this." Ava, I said, "Your auntie Beverly wants you to do something. You want to do it?" And I showed it to her. She's like, "Oh, yeah, I want to do it." I recorded that thing doing that. I was like, it was us leaving in the morning. All right, you have your stuff on. Let's go. Oh my goodness, what are you doing? Okay, listen. I mean, she had me down, and I felt this small. Yeah, I really did. I did. I said,
"It's funny, but it's not funny. It's eye opening."
Because even though Beverly's kids, you know, they showed her in a funny light, but in their tone of her, she was very calm, and that's how she is. It was a true representation of their mother. And I had to accept that what I saw in some ways, and I think I was very critical of it, because I'm like, I'm her mirror. So I'm reflecting that to her. I've always been big on that. I am my daughter's mirror. And when I saw that, I said, "Hey, this is an opportunity for me to change." And that was a game changer for me. It really was. So I just encourage people, like, you know, ask your children. I ask her, so she thinks I'm crazy when I do it. I said, "So how am I doing as a mom?" And she's like, "Why do you ask me that?" I said, "You're the only person I can ask for feedback. You're my only kid. So who else, I can't ask my," and I think that's a novel concept, because we always think we're doing everything right.
Yeah.
I don't assume that. Yeah. So I always ask her, "Is there something I can do more of?" And especially since I've started this business, our life has drastically changed. And just things have gone awry. Some things have gone very, very well. It's just I've had to create a new balance in our life. And I've been very, very intentional about asking, "So how, like, am I spending enough time with you?" And one time she told me I wasn't. And she's like, "Well, when you're in the house, but you're always busy." And we had to come up with, I said, "If you need me to hang out with you, you let me know. You just say, hey, can we hang out?" And I stop. I don't care what I'm doing. I stop, I go and be with her, or I bring my work with me.
Yeah, because they don't necessarily want you, especially at that age. They just want you there with them. They don't necessarily want you engaged. Like, my daughter would ask me, and she's 7, "Can you come lay in a bed with me?" And I'm thinking she wanted me to put my arm around her. She's like, no, just lay here. I was like, okay, my bad.
I just need you here. And as a mom, I keep thinking, like, a little while, she's not going to want to be bothered with you as much.
Right.
So think about that. And, you know, just take advantage of each and every day is an opportunity to build their countenance, to build their awareness to tell them how much you love them. I always ask Ava, you know, did I tell you I love you today? She always says no. I know I tell her I love her every day. And when she gets in the car from school, did I tell you I love you today? She's like, nope. So those are the little things, you know, that I think have made a big difference in just me having a bond with my daughter. And that has folded over into what I like to do on my platform, just teaching those things, because a lot of times we get so caught up in trying to make sure our children are academically sound and they're so smart. But if your child doesn't know how to resolve an argument, that's a problem.
Yeah,
they don't know how to feel when they get frustrated, or they don't know how to maneuver through you know, they don't want to fail. They don't want to get anything wrong. Like something, there is an underlining, there's an underbelly to that that has to be addressed as well. And that's about being socially, that's being emotionally intelligent. I think that is a big thing.
It starts with 4 or 5.
Oh yeah, you have to start building that then. You cannot wait till they get, please listen. Okay, so we can go on all day with this, I'm telling you. But So this had to have been, oh gosh, I was teaching 2016, 18-ish. Atlanta Public Schools came out with this curriculum called, what is it called?
Basically, growth mindset.
What is it?
What did you say? Was it growth mindset?
It was something along those lines. It was called Second Steps.
Oh, okay.
But basically what it is, it's like you said, it's a social emotional curriculum.
Okay.
I was like, so now I got to teach you how to breathe. But I'm telling you, it was necessary because people are not investing time in their children, teaching them how to maneuver through their emotions. And children are coming to school full of trauma and constant flight mode. Like you said, they can't respond to a hug. And I saw that in a difference between when I started in 2007 as an educator versus when I, let's say to that time, 10 years later.
It got worse.
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, in 2007, it was nothing for you to be able to. That was the way I took attendance. You had to sign your name as a kindergarten music, right? Sign her name, and you had to give Miss Peek a hug. And that was my pulse check to see, like, what kind of morning you had. Because you could just tell. You know, when you get to know kids, you just know they bounce in one day and they're walking through drag and they look back. Okay, I got to love on you a little bit. All right, now. You know, you just know. But and by 2017, and it depends on the environment. So the school that I've taught, and we're different. It was a lower socioeconomic situation. It was a little bit different, but the children were coming from some really interesting situations, and they were not responsive to a teacher wanting to hug them. That was not the norm,
or even kind words, a compliment.
I mean, I can tell you right now, and this is no lie, God is watching me. I have taught some children I would not know their parent from a can of paint. 180 days their child's in school with me. They never met me. And I cannot fathom that, because that is a level of detachment I don't understand when it's, I'm so sorry, that comes to my daughter. I need to know who she's with every day.
Hey, how you doing? If you need me to volunteer in this classroom, or I'll just come up here for lunch, but you're going to see me. Hey, I need a parent-teacher conference. It's been about 2 or 3 months since I talked to you. How are you doing? How is my child doing? It's been a minute.
What do you need?
So you are pretending for 10 months.
You got to, because this is the thing. Because the children need to know that you're invested in them. That's that word again, invest.
They act different.
If you know, like Ava knows, I will roll up there on her.
Good or bad, I'm coming.
Good or bad, I'm coming. And because again, that gives them confidence, right? And it lets you know my mama's coming for me. You know, good and bad, she's coming. And it just is a good post check on how they're supposed to behave, what your expectations are. I don't like the word behavior, but it lets them know what their expectations are. It just lets them are, right? So I just feel like the difference between those kids when I started my career as to like when I left the classroom, there's been like a paradigm shift culturally as well, where people just, and I think it has a lot to do with social media. A lot to do with there's so many distractions in the home that keep you away from your kids. You know, you have kids that are always on a tablet. You know, they're not engaging with their families, and that connection is kind of like, why you want to hug me?
Yeah.
Or it's just not expected. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can definitely see there's a big shift in kids with that, but I was just disgusted that I had to teach children how to breathe and how to just like do the balloon breathing and, you know, how to resolve conflict. I didn't have to do that in 2007.
Yeah.
Kids teach children how to get along. But
not on you having 27 kids in the classroom already having to teach them so many things in a short amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why a lot of teachers are leaving the classroom now, because it's just too much. Like, you can't be the parent and the teacher and the therapist and and the nurse
and the minister and all the exorcist, all that stuff. Okay. Because
that's a lot, 27 kids.
And that's why teaching is a calling. It is not something you walk into because you like kids. I always tell people, you know, my first school uniform was like a navy blue shirt and khaki pants. So whenever I went to Walmart, people thought that I worked there, right? So, but then it was fun. I was able to see my tag and say I was a teacher. And every now and then, so I would say, oh, I want to be a teacher. And I would say, well, why? They said, oh, I love kids. I said, that's not why you become a teacher.
I love kids and I will never be an elementary school teacher.
Let me tell you something. They said, why? I said, because you're going to have to teach some kids you don't love. Okay? And they're going to come to your class for 180 days. Those children are never absent, baby. They don't never get sick. I don't care how cold it is outside. They come into your class with no coat on. Well, okay. So you're going to teach that child for 180 days. What are you going to do? And they would just look at me like, you don't think about that. And you don't think about it until you get into the classroom. I love teaching. I loved the process of teaching children. So even when I had to, and I'm going to tell you something else, I don't know if this will make the Instagram or whatever. Let me tell you something. Teachers, how could I put this? Well, it's palatable because I know my mouth. Well, they say, you know, okay, when parents say, you know what, you don't have to like me. I'm your parent. I'm not, you know, you're not going to like me all the time. If you like me all the time, I'm not doing my job. You ever said that to your kids or something like that?
Something similar, yeah. You don't like my decision, but it's as you shouldn't like all of my decisions.
Right. Guess what? Teachers feel the same way. And this is the thing. Children do not learn from teachers they don't like. That's something
They don't
learn from people they don't like. They don't learn from people they don't like looking at.
Their ears don't work.
They try,
but it's still just.
Baby, they literally do not learn from people they don't like and they don't like looking at. So teachers, I know it's a lot. Comb your hair. Do what you need to do. Like, I swear, you know, my red lipstick. Children, even now, even Samaz will say, are you sick?
Wear your red lipstick.
I don't have my red lipstick on. One of my old clients is like, she didn't like the pink lipstick. She loves the red. So that's a children are, they want to look at something or be around a positive energy. They don't come. I can't stand seeing teachers walk in the classroom with Crocs on and slides and pajamas. What's wrong with y'all? You are a professional. You are a person that is going to dispense knowledge. Look like it. Because yep. No one is, I'm telling you that all of that plays a part. But the biggest part is children don't learn from people they don't like. So, and they don't have to, you, and all teachers don't have to love your children. They have to teach them. Okay? So what they have to do is not mistreat your child. They have to respect your child and they have to teach your child, because some of your children are not likable because you're not sending them to school respectful and teachable. Oh. So let's just be clear. Like the pendulum goes both ways. Everybody has a job to do, but the big part about it is don't be honest about who you're sending to your school, into school. Be honest with yourself. Am I, as a parent, sending my child at their very best to school every day? Are they happy? Or is their belly fed? Have I fed them emotionally? Have I spoke words of affirmation over my children? Have I prayed with my child? Have I told them how great they are? If you are not feeding positivity to your child every day, you're going to get what you get out. And that doesn't always spew out on you, because they're with the teacher 8 hours a day. They're not with you.
Yep. So not only the teacher, their peers get that as well.
Yes.
And then,
Wait. Don't skip this if you're a parent. Let me tell you that you should listen to our podcast, Let Kids Play Podcast. Why? Because our children are lacking creativity and problem-solving skills. On this podcast, we laugh, we have special guests, we talk about the traditional and homeschooling needs, and give you tips and hacks and things like that to enhance your experience of teaching your little ones under 5 years old. You can find the Let Kids Play Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast.